It's really amazing getting to speak in front of so many people. But there's also just like a lot of like false expectation that can be put on speakers as well. And so I just want to prophesy into the speakers that are going to start to rise up in this generation. I just want to prophesy that that speakers aren't going to have to put on a show anymore and aren't going to be able to let people into their lives, and they're going to be vulnerable. So I just want to be vulnerable before you. Is that all right? So before I get up to speak tonight, I can feel this ball of anxiety that sits in my belly that tries to make speaking not a fun thing. But then you at the same time know that God's called you to speak, and so, and then you remember the verse and it says God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, and so you hold to the word instead of what you're experiencing. And so then someone gets up on the stage and says, if you're experiencing anxiety, we want to pray for you. And then I experience this little thought that crosses in my mind that says, don't put up your hand because you're speaking tonight. And then I said, Lord, what would you like me to do? And he said, I want you to put up your hand because you need prayer as well. You're just as much a son and a daughter as every person in this room. And so I just want us to prophesy that we're not going to idolize speakers anymore. We're not going to put them on the top of our little pyramids and worship them and fall if they fall and get hurt if they hurt you. And man, we're just people. We're just people, just like you. We're just a part of the body. Some of us just get to be the mouth, and you might be the eyes, or you might be the chest, but we're all just a part of the body. And so I just want to release you. If you are a speaker or you're a preacher in this nation or up and coming and you desire to be that, please just choose authenticity. Choose reality. Don't choose the plastic stuff anymore because it's old. It's done with. Nobody wants to hear it. Is that all right? All right. It's like it's my fourth time preaching now, so I'm a little bit more comfortable, you know? Do what I want. You know, I was in worship, and the Lord put a word on my heart, and he said he wanted to heal some people. And so who knows, you got to obey whatever God tells you to do. Because fruitfulness is in obedience. And he told me that there's just people who come to church here who just like actually have to endure pain while they listen to the message. You might have just pain in your back or pain in your neck or pain in somewhere in your body as the message is being preached. Every Sunday you're like, all right, I have to sit down again. It's like, I know I'm going to be in a bit of pain, but I want to hear the word of God. If you have pain in your body while you listen to the message, like most Sundays you feel it, can you just please stand up? It's not embarrassing to have pain in your body. Is there anybody else? All right. So the beautiful thing is that that God wants to heal. And God wants to use you to heal people. Who believes that God is big enough and strong enough to use you to heal people? So if there's someone who's standing up next to you, as a family, can you just put your hands on them in a responsible place? Yeah, don't be afraid to get up. We're a family. And so as you pray, I just want you to find out what injury it is. Don't feel pressure. You don't have to tell people if you don't want to, but just find out what it is you're praying for, because this isn't going to be hype. This is just going to be the power of God. And I want you to just pray specifically to the injury. Pray specifically and command it to go in Jesus' name. If there's pain, command the pain to go in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your presence in this room. And Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would come miraculously in these people's bodies, Father, that you would remove every pain in Jesus' name. All right. Amen. All right, just before those people sit down, can I just get somebody to just check it out? Just maybe try to do something that you couldn't do before. Sometimes I've seen it as people check, the miracle actually comes as they check. As Jesus says, get up and walk, the miracle comes as they get up and walk. So if you can check and you actually can feel that something has just changed, can you just wave a hand? Just wave it nice and high. Give testimony to God. Amen. 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 All right, you can sit down. Thank you, God. Did anybody just see that a miracle just happened in church? Isn't that fun that it's becoming normal for miracles just to always happen in church? All right. You know, it's always fun just throwing your message out a little bit, isn't it? If you have back pain and you know that you have a shorter leg than the other, your chiropractor has told you that you have a shorter leg than the other, can I just get three volunteers? If you know you have back pain, yeah, one. Do you just want to come up the front? Does anybody else have a sore lower back and you know you have a shorter leg? Do you want to come up the front? All right, three volunteers. And can you guys just come sit on these chairs? If you've got one, yeah. Okay. Jesus did. Amen. Can you just sit on that chair? Is that all right? And if you also, yeah, if you have a sore lower back and you know you've got a shorter leg, is anybody else? All right. If you have a sore back, I'm sure you have a shorter leg. Is there anybody in this section here who's got a short back? I mean, a short back, a lower back issue. Do you want to just come up the front? Do we have like a roaming cameraman at all? I just want to show you guys something amazing. God's about to heal some people. Amen. And also, just as the miracle culture starts to build in our church, I never want to be a community of people that goes, well, let's see if the man of God can pray for these people and see healing. It's like we're coming together as a family that our family would be healed. Is that all right? So I'm gonna put down the microphone and I'm just gonna check if these guys have a shorter leg. And we're just gonna do a bit of on the run commentary. Is that all right? Do we have that cameraman? So can you see that it's shorter than the other? No, the left one's shorter. All right, I'm going to pray and God's going to grow it out. Can you feel the pain now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left leg, come out. Come out. Come out. Can you feel that? All right, I want you to
stand up and check your back. How's that feel?
Yeah, good. Yeah, pain free.
So. All right, so just tell me, when I was praying, what did you feel?
Just tingly.
Sort of tingling in your leg.
Yeah, just.
And did you have pain before?
Yeah.
And do you have pain now?
No.
No, amen, amen. You're right, you can take a seat. All right, I'm just going to check this leg.
Are you able to sit in the chair? Sorry, it's just a bit easier.
You're right. Can you feel the pain now? Yeah.
Right leg, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. You feel that? You see that growing? Come out. Come out. Come out. You feel that? Can anyone see that? All right, so that's even now.
Can you stand up and check your back? Just give it a move. What just happened?
I don't know.
Can you feel any pain at all?
No.
No pain.
How long did you have back pain for?
Since I was born.
Since you were born. Can you just check it out? Just give it a little move. Is there any pain?
No.
Can I check your legs? All right, so the left one is longer.
Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Can you feel that?
It's starting to.
You can feel that? All right, they're even now.
Can you stand up and just check your back? Just give it a move. How's that feel? You can be honest, it's okay. Okay, it's better.
Yeah, it's better.
Can we just pray one more time?
Yeah.
Can you guys just stretch your hands towards her? In Jesus' name. Back, I command you to be healed. In Jesus' name. All right, just give it a wiggle. How's that feel? You can be honest, it's okay.
Still just a little twinge because it's in my hip as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, can we just pray one more time? Is that all right?
Okay.
Yeah, just put your hand on your hip. Just stretch your hands towards her again. In Jesus' name, hip, I command you to be healed. God, we thank you that you'd be glorified in this miracle, Lord. We just declare it in Jesus' name, be healed. All right, you just give that a little move again. And how's that feel?
It's better.
Better, still a little bit of pain. All right. Well, who knows that it's God's will to still heal? So there's only two types of people in the room, people that are healed and people that are about to be healed. So I'm going to come pray for you after. Is that okay? Can we just give her a celebration? You're all right. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's no shame in not being healed. Does anybody believe that? There's no shame in not being healed. Because we as a church are going to pursue the miraculous. 18 minutes, all right. Can you turn with me to Mark chapter 3, verses 13? Just before we move on, did anybody think that was just awesome? Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for miracles, Lord. Thank you for miracle-working power, God. Thank you, God, that you're not dead, but you're surely alive, God. And you're roaring like a lion on the inside, God. Jesus, I give you glory, Father. I thank you for those miracles, and every one of them was for your name's sake, Lord. We put our eyes back on you, God. We put our eyes back on the blood of Jesus, and we thank you, God, that you paid the price, God, for our sin, but our healing as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Mark 3:13. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Verses 14. And then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. Tonight, I just want to rekindle something that I believe God is already stirring in this community. And I believe it's just the basics of discipleship. It's the basics and it's the fundamentals of just like us as children of God who are learning a new way of living. Because that's what Jesus asked. When he stepped into humanity, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The word repent is the word metanoia. It means to change your mind, to change what you think. Basically, the Lord comes, stares at humanity and says, "You've done everything wrong. Let me teach you again." And so he then chooses 12 that he's going to be imparting to this new way of life, this new way of existence. And who knows, we've all read the scriptures where he meets the fishermen and he tells them to drop the nets and to come follow him. And the context of the heart position of those disciples was obedience. It was not intelligence. It was not giftings. Jesus saw these fishermen who were untrained and unlearned, and he said, "I can see your heart, and I believe you're going to be obedient." He doesn't need you to know anything. He doesn't need you to have it all together. He just needs to know that there's going to be people that he calls who are going to be obedient. And so all he did was he said, come follow me. And these men, they dropped their nets and they followed him. When people have an encounter with God, all Jesus wants us to do is to drop what we think we know and come follow him. And what I've seen creep into the church and creep into what's happening across the globe, as there's a lot happening across the globe that's really good, but what I've seen creep into the church is that we receive Jesus, but we keep our old ways. We receive Jesus and we keep our old habits. And I believe that there's only one reason that we as a church would look more like the world than Jesus. And I believe that it's because we're more intimate with the world than we are with him. Because you'll become what you worship. And if you still worship the approval of man, and you still worship the ways of the world, or still worship the systems that are at place, then unfortunately we're going to remain the same. But God is calling a people to repent, to change what we believe and come follow him. And I've seen over and over again that people meet Jesus sincerely, but don't drop the nets. They hold on to the things that we have before. And we don't give ourselves the opportunity to actually meet with him, to actually go and preach the gospel, learn how to heal the sick, and learn how to cast out demons. And we hold on to our old ways, whether that be university sometimes. Sometimes we meet Jesus and we just still pursue the same thing that we always pursued. Whether that be a job sometimes, whether that be success. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, because Peter and John and some of those boys, they went back to being fishermen, but they had learned something new. They had learned a new way of life. And so I'm just going to start with the first thing that Jesus wanted to teach them when he called them. And it was that they would be with him. First and foremost, Jesus wants you to be with him. He wants an intimate and personal relationship with you, every single one of you. He wants to teach you his ways. He wants to teach you his kingdom. He wants to teach you how to love. He wants to teach you how to do community. He wants to teach you how to do relationship. He wants to teach us how to live. Because if we haven't been taught by God for all of our existence, then we've been taught by the fall of man. And we need to change the way that we think. John 17 verses 3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you." We all know that John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, that whoever might believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." So Jesus came and died for us that we would have this beautiful thing called eternal life. And who knows, that's not heaven one day. John 17:3 says, "Eternal life is that we would know him." Wow. It's the most precious thing that he paid for, is that we would have access to the heart of God, that we would actually get to know him, to feel him, to hear his voice daily, to know his word, to know his ways. It's the desire of God. When he appointed these 12 men, he invited them to be with him. You will not carry the power of God unless you've been with Jesus. You will not carry the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick unless you've been with him. He wants to teach you the ways of the Spirit. He wants to teach you the ways of faith. And he wants to teach you the ways of God. But I've seen so many of us, we give up on the miraculous and we give up on the power of God and we give up on the pursuit for healing just because it didn't happen once or twice or three times. And then we come up with these doctrines and these theologies about why God doesn't heal, but you've never put in the time to learn about healing. There's actually a whole way that we get to learn about healing the sick and how to minister the power of God's Spirit. It's not just something you pick up all of a sudden. It's something we get taught about. What faith really is. Do we know what faith really is? Some people call faith risk. It's not risk. It's full assurance. It's fully convicted about the ways and the will of God. It's not a stab in the dark. It's a, I know my God is good and I'm not budging because I know that's not the will of God. There's something that God wants to teach us as we're with him. Just turn to Isaiah 2 with me. And this is Isaiah prophesying about the people and the day and the age that is to come. And it says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Can you just flip that to the message? And they shall come. They shall come. Let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall show us the way he works so we can live the way we were made. We're trying to integrate a fallen way of living into a new life. And we're trying to live out of our natural man. We're trying to live out of the mind. And we try to live out of effort. And we try to live out of striving. When actually we've been called to drop back into the Spirit, drop back into a place of rest, drop back into a place of faith, and minister God's power out of rest. But we're trying to bring striving and self-effort back into the ways of God. And that's not what Jesus taught. Because I want us as a community to be a powerful people. That don't just see miracles in church, but see miracles everywhere that we go. And he sent them out to preach is the next one. That they would be with him, but then once they were with him, they were so excited about the message of the gospel, he sent them to go preach what they had experienced. Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I am unashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul saw something about the gospel that provoked him to be unashamed. And it was the fact that it was God's power to bring about salvation. It had nothing to do with him and his effort, but the message that he carried was all about God and his ability to save a human soul. And I remember when I first started preaching the gospel, and I used to get so overwhelmed when people would tell me that they had like shared the gospel with someone. I'd be like, well, what did you say? Like, did you talk about the cross? Did you talk about the resurrection? Did you talk about the blood of Jesus? Like, what did you, like, and I would just like analyze, and I'd be a bit overwhelmed. Like, what the heck did you say when you shared the gospel? And I remember it actually prevented me from wanting to share the gospel because I feel like I didn't know it yet. Has anybody experienced that? Just turn to Ephesians 1:13. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And this is Paul reminding the church of Ephesus what it really is. In Christ you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. So someone went to Ephesus and preached the word of God that brought about the ability to believe. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel simply, and this is going to help a lot of people as we try to step into a place of evangelism or outreach. The gospel is an experiential story about your salvation. It's a personal moment where God, by his sacrifice, saved your life. All you have to do to share the gospel is share how Jesus Christ saved your life. All you have to do is share that I was once bound to this, and now the blood of Jesus has set me free. I was once in this circumstance, but the blood of Jesus has forgiven me. The gospel is really simple. It's not about getting all the words right. It's about making it personal for the person in front of you. I remember I just didn't know. I didn't know what to say. And a lot of us don't know what to say, but it becomes really easy when you just share your story about how wonderful Jesus has changed your life. And then the words can come, because there is a beautiful gospel that people need to know about repenting and turning from their ways and receiving the forgiveness of God and lots of beautiful things. But it starts really simply with just your story. And if you don't believe that you have a good story, unfortunately, you're severely deceived, because every man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every man needs to be saved from their sin first and foremost. We were deserving of hell, and we were deserving of death. Romans says the wages of sin is death, but God's free gift is eternal life to anybody who will believe it. We were in sin and we needed a savior. That is worth rejoicing about, that you are not spending eternity in condemnation, but you are spending eternity in glory with Jesus. You have an amazing story because you worked, you didn't work out your salvation. You didn't make it happen. It was the blood of Jesus that saved you. Jesus sent out his people to preach the gospel because the word needs to hear it. And so what happened when Peter preached? He got filled with the Holy Ghost and he stood up in front of more people than this and he proclaimed the good news and 3,000 people got saved. And then he did it again. He got beaten up and chucked in prison and then he got out and he's like, whoa, that was hectic. Let's have another go. Stands up in front of a lot of people, preaches the gospel again and 5,000 get saved. Does anybody have testimonies like that? Gosh, I want them. Is anybody excited to preach the gospel to get people saved and born again? Gosh, take us to the mission field. And I want to just take us to a scripture in Acts 4. I've run out of time. I'm going to have to preach two messages. Another week. Acts 4, verses 13. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they had realized that they had been with Jesus. These uneducated men, these untrained men who we would have looked at and said, mate, you're a joke. You're not going to win 5,000 people to the Lord. Let's be real. These untrained men, these unlearned men. God will use the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He's looking not for golden vessels, not for silver vessels, but for yielded vessels. People who would say, God, would you use me? God, would you use me to save my nation? God, would you use me to save my school? And they looked at Peter and John and they said, these men have been with Jesus. Do people look at your life and know that you've been with him? Do people look at your life and go, I know that guy has been with Jesus? Because there's an invitation that Jesus wants to give us first and foremost before he ever gives us power to heal the sick, before he ever gives us the confidence to preach the gospel, before he ever gives you the power to cast out demons. He wants you to first be with him. But every one of us has been called. He chose 12 to start with because he wanted to make sure he got it right so it would spread out throughout the whole world. But every one of us has an invitation to be with Jesus, to learn his ways, to recognize, you know what? I don't know the ways of faith. I actually don't know what faith is. I don't know the ways of the Spirit. I'm actually very natural in the way that I think. And the whole family gave their heart to the Lord. Anyway, they came to my house a couple weeks later and I had the privilege of baptizing this young girl into Christ. And I had the privilege of baptizing the mother into Christ. And I had the privilege of baptizing the father into Christ. And the whole family was saved. And on Wednesday last week, they gave me a call again and they said, our young girl is very sick and she's in hospital and she's got pneumonia in her chest. And so they called me and I went to the hospital again and I prayed. I prayed fervently, believing that there would be a miracle. And I left believing and I left convinced that it was going to happen. And on Friday, I get the call that the young girl died. And I don't know if you've ever been amongst sickness or you've ever been amongst diseases, but it's not okay. And it's not healthy and it's not God's will. And there has to be people in the church who get moved by this stuff, that say it's enough is enough, that sickness is killing our families and sickness is killing our people and it's not the will of God. And so me and my friend, we got invited by the family to come on the Saturday to visit the morgue to believe that God would raise this young girl from the dead. And this family gave us 3 hours with this young girl's body. And so we prayed and we fervently interceded that this young girl would rise and she didn't get up. And so they gave us another opportunity on Monday and we spent 2 hours with this young girl's body to pray and believe and intercede that this young girl would get up. And then they gave us another chance at the funeral. And we prayed and we believed and nothing happened. But I know that my Bible says those who believe will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover, will lay their hands on the dead and the dead will rise. And so there's only two ultimatums that come out of that. Is that I get discouraged and I back off, or I take the invitation to believe this word over any experience I ever face. And I take the responsibility of it, and I won't wear condemnation. Because if you wear the condemnation of somebody not getting healed, you'll wear the pride of it when they do. So I choose not to wear either. But I take the responsibility that I am the salt and light on this earth, and I am the hands and feet of my King Jesus. And I believe God is calling a generation of people to actually make a decision to pursue the miracle working power of God. Because I've made that decision, and whether any of you come with me, I will pursue it, and I will see the dead raised, and I will see the sick healed. And so I just want to pray out to God right now, just for 1 minute.